This is Poking Holes in Blinders with stuntman and actor Anthony Molinari. Here's a sneak peek into this week's episode.
Coming back to gratitude, to me, it's really, really simple. Gratitude is my attitude.
I love how you were talking about it's not winning and losing, it's winning and learning.
That's something I wanted to tell you too, Anthony, is that I appreciate you coming on and just being open and just being real, because that's who you are.
And now, on with the show. Welcome back to Poking Holes in Blinders. I'm Colin Fallenweider, and with me as always is Dr. Brian Height. This is our second live podcast, and I'm pretty excited about it. So thank you all for being here today. I'd also like to thank John Dixon and Stunt Phone for hosting today's discussion. Before we get into it, I know many of you know Brian and I as stunt performers. And even though today's topic with our podcast is focused on the stunt industry, typically we don't talk about the stunt industry. We talk about a broad range of topics, and our goal is to broaden our own and our audience's perceptions through understanding, through open-mindedness, through critical thinking. We like to say knowledge infused with compassion fuels better decisions. So if you're interested in hearing more, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, or check us out on our website, pokingholesinblinders.org. Additionally, Brian has a business that is designed to help people achieve their full potential and to perform better in stressful situations. Brian, would you like to give us a little information on that, please?
Yeah, man, and not just stressful situations, just throughout life. It's called Begin Again Performance Psychology, and it's essentially sports psychology, but applied to all areas. I work with singers, dancers, all kinds of performers, as well as business people. I got small business owners, real estate people, and some athletes, from young ones right on up to just older ones who are they still got some game and they're making it happen. So if you're interested in any of the sport performance psychology stuff, check that out. BeginAgainPerformancePsychology.com. And there's a book too that will give you an idea of how I think and kind of the philosophy that I run with. It's called Begin Again, Utilize the Wisdom of Eastern and Western Ideologies to Achieve Your Full Potential. You can check that out on Amazon. Yeah, that's it. That's what I got.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that, Brian. So today, I am super excited about today's episode. We have a special guest who has appeared in over 200 films and television shows. He is an amazing stuntman and a gifted actor. He's landed roles acting opposite such A-listers as Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale in The Fighter. Also, he acted opposite Tom Cruise in Jack Reacher. The first time him and I worked together was in 2005 on the remake of The Poseidon Adventure. So please help me welcome our special guest and all-around great guy, Mr. Anthony Molinari! Woo!
Hey, and don't forget, Anthony starred in his own show, man. He's got his own movie. Tell us about that, Anthony.
It's called The Last Deal. Just came out this past year, and it's been an amazing adventure. We shot it during the pandemic, which was like, during that time, everyone felt like, you know, it was clearly a tragedy. And like, sometimes a tragedy is a terrible thing to waste. So we grabbed cameras and a script and a small amount of money that we never thought would equivalent to like being able to complete this project. But we didn't really think too far beyond the fact that like we wanted to go out and create something. So that's what we did. We went out during the pandemic, August and September. It was a 28-day shoot. We just shot ourselves a nice little feature, and it actually blossomed into like an award-winning indie films in the indie market. And then ended up getting picked up by a distributor. And then Amazon ended up picking it up. And now Starz just announced that they want to pick it up for an 18-month run on their streaming series. So we're excited about that. So, I mean, like I said, tragedy is a terrible thing to waste. Go out and create something when things are going bad.
Yeah, it's a great show, too. I'll tell you, when I turned it on and I knew you were starring in it, I expected explosions and craziness all over the place. And there just wasn't. There was you carried it as an actor. Not that there wasn't a little bit of action. You did a little bit of fighting and there was some stuff. But yeah, I was really impressed, man. I enjoyed it. It was a fun watch. So if you haven't checked out The Last Deal yet, definitely take a look at Mr. Anthony Molinari doing his thing as an actor. Yeah. And the first time I was trying to think the first time you and I worked together, Anthony, and I think it was somewhere around 2010 or so. It was on that Nicolas Cage show. What's
Drive Angry?
Drive Angry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we did a car hit. We did a car hit, double car hit on fire. So the car was driving around on fire, hitting people and lighting them on fire. And Anthony and I, like, I went diving across the hood and got hit by the car and lit on fire, went up and over. And about the time I was on the windshield, that's when the car hit Anthony and he got lit on fire and went up over the top. And that was a crazy, crazy couple of nights that we were doing that one. But I think that was it. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed working with you.
Yeah, yeah. That was an amazing night. Amazing guys. Unbelievable performances by everyone. That one was an isolated shot, which was really special for us to be featured in it. And ironically, I wasn't even chosen to do that gag. I just remember Tim Trella talking to, I won't mention his name, but another stunt guy. And he was like, okay, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get your Nomex on. And then all of a sudden, in mid-sentence, the guy noticed his contact, which was a producer, and walked away from Mr. Trella in the middle of his sentence. And Tim was just sitting there like, what just happened? And he looked at me and I looked and I was like, oh, I don't know. And then he's like, you want to do a car hit? And I go, yes, I do. And he's like, go get dressed, put your Nomex on. I'm like, okay. And I literally got thrown in, like, I mean, not even an hour before they were going to set the gag up. So that was, again, I mean, right spot, right time, opportunity meets preparation. And yeah, you just seize the moment.
Yeah. And that kind of goes into what we were about to talk about, right? See, with the uncertainty, not ever knowing what's coming.
One of the things that we want to do with this podcast, as opposed to just kind of dealing with stunt issues, that we want to talk about things that we all deal with that we typically don't talk about. And I think one of the hardest things about our business is just the uncertainty of the next job. So for you, Anthony, what are your techniques or how do you deal with the uncertainty about never knowing when your next job is?
To me, it's really simple and it's challenging and I'm constantly working at it, but just living in the moment, not taking anything else, but like where we are right now. And I mean, feeling this cool breeze on my skin. I get goosebumps right now thinking about talking with you guys on this podcast, like just getting in tap with my senses. And I think that's what I discovered a couple of years ago, is that like, one of my big purposes for my senses in my life is to get me present, get in touch with the smell, the feel, the hearing, and just get present right here in this moment. And then like not think about what's to come, what's not to come, but just handling every moment the best way possible. So I would say it's all about the now.
That is awesome. And what a way of thinking about it. One thing in Brian's book, he talked about worrying about the future. And if you're worrying about the future, that's future things that haven't happened yet. And so you're creating suffering about, oh, when's my next job going to happen? Or what's this going to happen? As opposed to dealing it with, you said, with the now and just doing the things that you need to do now to be successful in the future, as opposed to worrying about the future. For me, it helps that the history repeats itself. Like we in the beginning, you know, like we put so much time in hustling and going out, meeting people and training and doing whatever we could to keep this going. But then when you're there and you have that downtime, you're like, I've been successful. I will continue to be successful. And that just helps me put my mind and my nerves at ease a little bit. It's like, I've been successful and that'll continue to happen, hopefully.
Yeah. And I'm not even hoping, you know what I mean? I know, you know what I mean? I think it's like, again, the more I find that myself in the moment, in the presence of this moment right now, and the more I can be grateful and because after you're in the moment, now there's a choice. Now there's a choice. I always break it down as there's only really two choices, and that's love or fear. And I don't think one is really bad. I mean, I think they both have their values, but I just choose to live in love a lot more than I choose to live in fear. And I think fear is really important. I think fear is a beautiful thing. Like people sometimes make it out like, avoid fear. Fear is so bad. Stay away from fear. No. How about this? Like, if we didn't have fear, I don't think I'd be here today. I mean, there's been many times on set where I was like, I don't know if that's right. Wait. I should say something. That's not right, guys. My fear signal is beeping right now and saying, hey, watch out for that. And sometimes I just have to be like, shh, it's okay. I got it. I see it. Thank you. But I'm okay. But other times I'm like, whoa. That's a good point. You know what? This is valid. You're protecting me. Okay. Hey guys, we need to change this. We didn't discuss. And then all of a sudden you're like, you look at it afterwards. You're like, wow, that could have been really bad if they didn't move that. So I think fear serves a purpose in our life, but I mean, what love creates is just my path. So, I mean, I just check in with myself a lot on a moment to moment basis and say, hey, is this coming from love or fear? And then I choose and I kind of like innately or like what feels right to me, I kind of pursue that particular feeling. And like, yeah, so that's the moment that goes by every minute and evaluating love and fear for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. You just mentioned hope. That's not even something that you grasp onto. And that's a foreign concept to a lot of people. But I'll tell you, there's a Roman philosopher called Seneca. He was a Stoic philosopher who said the same thing. He said, hope and anxiety, fear are of the same variety, because if we're experiencing hope or we're experiencing fear, then by definition, we're living in the future. We're not living in the now. Like you brought up grateful, you know, we're not accepting of and okay with now. We want things to be different. If we're hoping for something, that means we want something different from what we have. If we're afraid of something, you know, things could be different from what it is. We need to just be in the now, in the here. That was kind of his point. And that's what I'm hearing you say. What is the role of gratitude, though, in this idea of staying in the now for you? How do you use gratitude?
Oh, gratitude is everything. Well, before I jump on gratitude, I just want to backtrack a little bit to hope, because this word hope has been like an amazing word that's been coming up in my life, and I've been dancing with it a lot. And I just created a new dance recently with it in the last 4 months, because yeah, this guru that I love listening to right now he brings up how important hope is. And then I was like, wait, I've always had a problem with this word hope, because I feel like I'm hoping for something means I'm coming from lack. And if I'm coming from lack, then I'm not appreciating. I'm not grateful for what I have right now. And I'm completely grateful for what I have right now. But what he opened my eyes to is that like what hope does is keeps you moving. The energy that keeps you moving forward. The hope for a better future. The hope that our industry is going in the right direction. The hope that our children are going to create a better world than it is today. That hope keeps me moving forward. It fuels my tank. So like I found this new word to be very energizing, as opposed to like kind of like what I used to like try to avoid. So like, yeah, I'm coming to the light of more and more understanding that hope is such a valuable attribute in our life. And to have that hope for the future, that hope for our industry, that hope for my relationship that I know is going to move in a positive direction. That's what keeps me going and waking me up every day, getting me out of bed, pursuing the things that I want to pursue. So I have had this new dance and this new relationship with hope, which has been amazing. And then like, yeah, coming back to gratitude, to me, it's really, really simple. Gratitude is my attitude. That's it, period. It doesn't go any farther beyond that. You know what I mean? And I know that like life is going to, this other thing that I'm dancing with and I really got a good rhythm going on with it is good or bad. I don't want to look at things as good or bad anymore. Because there's always going to be good or bad things happening. I'm just trying to look at them as powerful experiences. And these powerful experiences are going to come in and out of my life. And the more that I can look at each one of them as an opportunity and not as a good or a bad, like winning and losing. I don't believe that what we look at as losing is the proper way to look at it. We look at losing as like, I'm a bum. I'm a failure. I stink. And you're like, no. This is just the opposite. I got a big sign in my kitchen that there is only winning and learning. That's all there is winning and learning. That's what you do. Actually, I tell my kids, I go, you're actually winning when you lose, because I have found to be very little growth when I win, but I found that to be a lot of growth when I lose. So every time I'm losing, I'm taking a look at myself. I'm coaching myself. I'm reevaluating that. I'm trying something different. I'm stepping to the left. So these wins and losses, I feel like, are just powerful experiences in my life that I get to challenge myself with finding a positive outlook in. And there's this new word that came up recently. It's called anti-fragility that this guy introduced me. And it is brilliant. And the easiest way I learn things really easy through analogies. And the best analogy I've come up with anti-fragility is like, you can give yourself to life in one of two ways. Life's going to throw stuff at you. Like, let's just call it a tragedy. Like I had a tragedy in my life like 7 years ago. And I gave myself to life as a glass bottle and it just threw me down and it broke me. And then as time went on, I realized, wait, you know what? I'm going to give myself to life as a ball. And now when it throws me down, boom, all that energy of that powerful experience that I mentioned, it doesn't break me. It takes me to a higher level. I literally bounce off the ground with all this powerful energy. And now if I'm looking at it as a powerful experience and not a good or a bad experience, so that when I get thrown down on the ground, I don't break, I actually bounce. It's going to take me to the higher way of living that I've never lived before. So I use that energy. I've been trying to consciously put myself in a position to use that energy to not bury myself, et cetera, but to actually like elevate myself, to start living a life that I didn't even know possible, to point myself, to have it redirect that energy and put me into a direction of like the actual path that I want to go on. It's been a learning experience. It's been a lot of fun figuring this out. But yeah, anti-fragility is probably one of the most powerful things I've learned in recent time.
I think it's amazing because you're not saying that you're having different experiences. You're saying your perspective or perception of the experiences you have are molding them into a more powerful life path. You know, like I love how you were talking about it's not winning and losing, it's winning and learning. We always talked about how our perceptions create our reality. So instead of looking at a failure as a bad thing, we talked about as a failure as a learning experience. And as you were just talking about the stuff that you went through in your life, it's like you're taking these, you said not good or bad, but these experiences, and then from there, creating such a powerful perspective and a powerful transformation from that just by your own perspective. And that kind of goes back to like uncertainty in our business. Mm-hmm. Like when you...
Sorry about that.
Is it time to take your meds? Is that what that's
for? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we don't want to get in the way of that.
Yeah, exactly. If we go back to uncertainty in the business, it's like the way you're approaching it, like you have such a positive light that's just glowing. Like you're just glowing right now. It's just such a positivity and positive light. And that really just comes down to how you've been able to shape your perspective into recognizing things and then using them as tools for growth. Go back to the uncertainty things. Like when you approach everything with just that openness, there's not really an uncertainty that things are going to work out, because things are going to work out. And then your perspective is going to be able to get the most out of whatever situation happens, whether it's good or bad. So I think it's a very powerful mindset that you have there.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, Anthony, the thing that struck me about what you said, I want to go back to the hope thing too, because I've never heard anybody conceptualize hope in the way that you did. And I think that it's interesting because from where you were talking about it, it seemed as though hope didn't involve chance or probability. You know, I mean, it's more like the way that we talk about things. Oh, I hope that this happens, like it might not. You know, I mean, there's a probability, it's a chance. We're hoping that this happens. But for you, hope seemed to be more of a vision. I'm creating this vision. And what that does is provide direction for me in this moment of what I need to do in order to realize that vision, in order for that vision to manifest. This thing that I have hope. And I think that your concept of good and bad, I know that I've talked about this on this podcast before, but it reminds me of this story. It comes up all the time in my life. This old Chinese guy, and you know, he's sitting there and he loses a horse. His horse runs away and his neighbor comes over and he says, "Oh man, your horse ran away. That really sucks." You know, old guy says, "I don't know, maybe." And so then the guy's son goes out to try to find the horse. He comes back with 7 more horses. So now the guy's got 8 horses. Neighbor comes over. He's like, "What? You got 8 horses? That's great." He said, "I don't know, maybe." Son gets on one of the horses to break it. Son gets thrown off the horse, breaks his leg. Neighbor's like, "Oh man, your son got hurt. That really sucks. I don't know, maybe." The army, the government comes by to conscript people to go join the army for a big war. And they don't take this guy's son because he's hurt. And the neighbor's like, "Oh, that's great. Your son didn't go off to war." Guy's like, "I don't know, maybe." So the whole point is there isn't good and bad. There is just experience. And one thing that I heard on a podcast or a meditation or something recently, and it really, I don't know why it hadn't struck me before now, but it did, is the way that it was worded, this idea of what I like and don't like, was pleasant and unpleasant. So what it did is it took the emphasis off of the event itself. So the event is not good or bad. But my experience of that event is one that I either like or don't. It's either unpleasant or it's pleasant. And I think that that's fine. I mean, to recognize that there are some situations we like and some we don't. But what that doesn't do is give an inherent goodness or badness to something, because that goodness and badness might change, just like that story showed.
And that's another one that I've been wrestling with, because like, I see this and I'm like, but I'm such an emotional, passionate guy. I'm like, I don't want to lose that. That's who I am. This feels right. This feels innate, right? When I'm hurting, when I lost my son, like I was dying inside. And I'm like, wait, should I not have felt that? Should I have just been like, oh, I don't know, maybe. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be this flat line. I want to have emotions. I want to be able to feel this. But what I just read, this Untethered Soul, amazing book, Michael Singer. Anyways, he was talking about this unconditional happiness. You should feel that way. I was like, oh my God, thank you. He goes, but under it all, the hope, the unconditional happiness, knowing that I'm going to be okay. One of my aunt, I remember, told me, God bless her, she was like, I had lost everything I thought in life. My girlfriend broke up with me. I blew my knee out. My scholarships went away for college. Everything, I'm dying. And she's like, Anthony, it's going to be okay. I'm like, how is this going to be okay? You know what I mean? How? But underneath it all, what she was saying is like, you don't see it right now, but down the road, you're going to understand. It's going to be okay. And you're going to get through this. And this powerful experience will make you a more powerful man. Be grateful for these powerful experiences that happened to you. Losing my son was one of the most powerful things that I've ever experienced in my life. But what I'm coming to find out is that like, it was one of the things that has brought me to where I am today. And being the man constantly on this drive to be the best man possible in honor of him. So again, a tragedy is a terrible thing to waste. So taking tragedies in your life and handing yourself over to life as a ball and not a glass, and letting it just throw you down as high as you can. And you just pray that it throws you down as hard as it can so that you can just go to boundaries that you've never been to before. And I think that like, yes, I love that Chinese fable, and it's amazing how he handles it. But underneath it all, and it's like what we're talking about for hope. Underneath it all, you know that down the road, this is going to be a powerful experience that's going to make you a better person. You might not feel it and understand it right now. So feel and understand exactly what this present moment is doing for you. But really deep down underneath in the unconscious, just know that it's going to be okay.
I think one of the things that's amazing about the hope thing is hope is not looking for the future for me. And the way you're saying with the positive thing, it's in the present of trying to get things better. I think being not completely satisfied is a good thing, because when you're not completely satisfied, then it allows you time for growth. It allows you the desire to grow. So when you're looking at the hope in a positive way, not like you're trying to live in the future, but I'm trying to not be complacent with where I'm at, because I want to keep growing. And I really also liked your perspective about the emotion that you want to feel. Like that Chinese proverb is such a great proverb, but you're right. He is kind of right in the middle. And we are emotional people. And when you're allowing yourself to feel those emotions, but you're under, your whole under structure is one of positivity and growth, is allow you to get the most out of those experiences.
I tell my kids, okay, look at this, two worlds going on at the same time. We're human beings, okay? And there's a human world where you got obligations. I have to be on time. I got to wake up. I got to eat. I got to go to work. There's a beginning. There's an end. There's birth. There's death. That's the human world. And then there's a being world. There is no beginning. There is no end. There is no time. And I'm like, these are simultaneously going on at the same time in life. And sometimes they cross paths, and sometimes you have to make choices, and they conflict with each other. And I think that will circle back to like an analogy that I made. Like one of my biggest moments in the stunt business was like, I was just hustling. And I remember that my little niece, she was like, she runs outside. I'm running to get into my truck with my bag, my hustle. And she's like, hey, Uncle Anthony, you said you were going to fly this kite with me. And I go, I got to go to work. I got to go hustle. And she's like, but you said you were going to do it. And I was like, and I stopped for a minute. I was like, no, you know what? What am I doing? Yeah, let's do this. Okay. I said, this is the deal. There's no wind. Okay. So there's no wind. That means you have to run. And she's like, okay, I'll run. I said, okay, so I'm going to hold it. And you start running, and she starts running. I go, but here's the deal. When you get to the end of the road, you're going to have to turn around. You're going to have to run extra fast because it's going to start to drop. She goes, okay, I'll do that. She takes off, she's running, and then she goes for the turnaround, and I'm like, oh no. And I just see the kite dive and dive, and I'm like, oh no, no. And she's running as fast as she can, and then that string top, boom, bang, right before the ground, it swims and it goes up in the air, and she's like, oh, it's working. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. What a beautiful moment. I get goosebumps thinking, I'm like, what a beautiful moment just experiencing this. And then all of a sudden, my phone rings, and it's Joey Box. And he's like, hey, what are you doing for the next 2 months? I need you on Star Trek. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, yes, I'm available. I'm like, oh my God. The universe is telling me something right now. Listen to it. It's saying you got to balance life, man. It can't just be all work. You got to stop and smell the roses sometimes and do the important things that are more for your soul, for you. So that moment moving forward, it was a huge lesson for me on this. And I'm still practicing it today with my family, this balance, this beautiful dance of having it. Because like I found myself to be so much more successful when I find the balance in my life, when I'm taking care of my body, when I'm taking care of my relationships and taking recreational time, working out, you know what I mean? Family time, work time, all of spiritual time, meditation, all of these come together. I feel like the universe just throws everything on a platter and hands it to you exactly the way you want it, because I'm finding this dance, this light. And perspective, what you spoke about earlier, Colin, is like amazing, amazing. Especially like, again, I just read this Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, and he was talking about perspective. And when you think about the perspective of where we are here in existence and life, I mean, just pull back like I did on that day, just to get out into that dirt parking lot that my niece and I were at. But the perspective of like, oh, let's go pull ourselves back to the moon and look down at this massive, beautiful planet. And then pull yourself perspective, get back to the sun where there's 100 million Earths could go into the sun. And then you pull back and you're like, the galaxies that are out there, the empty space is just so mind-blowing. And you're like, wait, I'm worried about getting a job? This is so small in perspective, but it's like, this is crazy, man. So like perspective has been a huge tool in supporting me on my journey of like being the best man possible, being the greatest being, like living the life that I know possible. And that perspective has just been so powerful for me lately. So thank you for bringing that up, Paul. It's a really powerful tool that you can use to really catapult yourself into what's really important in life when things are hard.
You know what, Anthony? One of the things that you just said is something I fully believe in. And you and I have talked about it too. This holistic approach to life, meaning physical, mental, emotional, social, spiritual, all these different components of humanity, they operate synergistically. They operate together. They are inseparable. One is going to affect the other. You can't just target one without moving the needle on something else. And something you just said, I think, is really important in that when we have that balance, when all of those areas of humanness are fed, what it does is it sets conditions for well-being. And in that moment, we are capable of adjusting our perspectives to taking the most productive and helpful perspectives. And I guess what I'm saying is, as opposed to, I have this vision for what I want, what I think I want, like this is my end state. This is what I want. These are my goals. This is all the stuff that I want. So let me take care of myself physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, and spiritually so I get what I want. It's less about that and more, let me just in this moment take care of myself physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually. Let what happens, happens, and know that I'm in a place to adopt a perspective that will be most helpful, that will be right for me and those around me in that moment.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. And like, it's so funny, Brian, because like so many people are out there and they want to save the world. I'm going to go and I'm going to save the world. And I'm like, wait, I'm still working on saving myself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about you, but like, I still need a lot of work on myself. And I feel like that's the best tool I can save that will save the world is just doing it. Like so many people have said it too. You know what I mean? Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. Michael Jackson, man in the mirror. For me right now, I'm just like, hey, the best thing I can do to save the world is be the best person that I can be. So like when I look at you guys and I see how amazing, I mean, I remember you guys growing up too, because Brian, you're one of the toughest stunt guys in the business I've met. I can hands down say that confidently. Colin is by far one of the most talented guys. There was a point where I was like, oh my God, these guys are my role models. I look up to these guys. I love these guys. But it's also like, if you spot it, you got it. Knowing that what I was seeing in you guys now was actually resided within me. I mean, I was like, what a beautiful perspective this is. To like, your greatness fuels my tank. So again, like being the best version of yourself is the best thing I feel like I can do for like everybody around me, including the world.
Well, I have always been such a fan of you, my friend.
Yeah, same here, man. You talk about tough stunt guys.
Yeah.
Anthony Molinari, right there at the top of the list.
Oh, man.
Talented. And I say this hands down, that the best stunt people are actors. And you, my friend, are an incredible actor. You're an incredible stunt guy. But the way that you can bring those two worlds together, because, you know, like everyone knows, you're either acting like the person you're doubling, or you need to act like you're in the scene that you're in. And the stunts take care of themselves. Like, okay, you're getting punched. All right. So I'll just do a reaction to that. But it's all the in-between stuff. And it's all the storytelling part of it that really, that's what we are. We need to be storytellers. And to be storytellers, we need to be actors within our stunts. And so I have always looked up to you because of that, because of how just your commitment to the craft, how awesome you are as a person. And so I feel very fortunate that we've been friends for almost 2 decades now.
Amazing, man. Humbled. Thank you so much. That's unbelievable. I really appreciate it. Look, ultimately it's me, but like I owe a lot to John Moyo. John and how he laid that out for us and the blueprint that he created for us. And he always said, hey, listen, you guys are actors. And I'm like, man, that's the last thing in the world I want to be as an actor. Please don't tell me I have to act. And he's like, no, you guys are performers on film. That is called acting. So that's what we're going to start doing up here. So a lot of our training when it came with John for those 6 years that we did all that training consistently twice was a lot of it was like skits. He made us put together little skits before we went and did our performance, because you're going to hit somebody very different if it's a comedy or if it's a drama action adventure. And so like all of these techniques that he brought to the table and this knowledge that he gave us ahead of time was, I owe a lot to Mr. Moyo. He's a dear friend and like a father figure to me.
Well, and just the fact that actually Tom Williams is the first one who brought me over to Bob Yerkes to introduce me to Moyo. Yeah, we were over there like twice a week for years. And we were just getting the business. We hadn't done anything. And just the fact that John would go over there and just donate his time and his knowledge and his effort. Yeah, just so appreciative of the opportunity that he's given so many new young stunt people in the business. And what a huge heart that man has to be able to year after year. And, you know, he did it for us. And that's one of the reasons we are where we are now.
I think this is a good segue into like role models, please. They're so important. They're so important. John was a role model to me. So like here in my office, like these are my role models. You know what I mean? Like I have them sitting right next to my desk. Oh yeah. Mr. Carnell's up there, but like, these people I look at every day, and I look at them because each one of them represents something different to me, because like there's a part of me that's, I mean, it's so bizarre. Like I got Mother Teresa and Walter Payton right next to each other. I mean, Churchill and Bruce Lee, come on. Like, I mean, this is crazy. Like they're so different, but like, that's me. That's my role. These are the people that like, I've seen a piece of myself in them. There's a piece of me that I'm inspiring to be like. When I have them sitting here, when I see Einstein with his tongue out, knowing that like, hey, don't take stunts too seriously. Don't take your career too seriously. You know what I mean, man? Like have fun. If you're not having fun doing this, you're missing out on a great life. So yeah, it's role models. I feel something that I've noticed recently in my life that are so important and so valuable in keeping myself in check and helping me stay on the path that I'm striving for, which ultimately is, again, repetitively, just to be the best version I can possibly be.
Hey, Anthony, there's a route that I would love to go, but I don't know. See, it's probably, we should just open it up to some questions. Or do you want to go down this other route? What do you want to do?
I'd love to do a quick little discussion on the new route. So yes, let's go down the route for like maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and then we'll open up for questions.
Okay. So here's something that I think is really important, Anthony. And when you were talking about Colin and me and just the background that we all three have and the relationship and stuff, you were talking about looking up to and noticing the qualities and wanting to emulate. Same thing with John Moyo. And I think that that's a great attitude, but it's not one that is shared all the time by all people. In other words, the flip side of that is being jealous of other people, seeing people with success or with skills that you don't have, and feeling envy as a result of that. So can you talk a little bit about how you have dealt with that envy when it's come up and how you try to avoid that?
Being in the backyard of Bob's was very challenging because people came and went. People came and then all of a sudden, boom, they're on a big show and they're gone. And you're like, whoa, why aren't I on a big show? And I think it was like about 11 years ago, I was walking the dog and I was just like, comparing myself to everybody. You get on Facebook, you hear it, you feel like everyone's working, and I'm such a loser because I'm not working. And even when you're around a circle of a stunt guys, everyone's talking about what they're doing. I'm like, what am I am such a bum. What's wrong with me? Why aren't I as successful as everybody else? And what I noticed, or what worked for me, was I remember walking the dog and I was like, what is wrong with you? Come on, man, what happened? And then I was like, okay, when you're in this space, go back to the basics. Go back to when you were a kid. You know what I mean? Keep it simple. Let's get back to the roots. Okay. When you were in third grade, I remember raising my hand being like, Mrs. Merritt, I want to make $100 an hour and I want to work 6 months out of the year. What do I have to do? What job is that? She goes, I don't know. It sounds like a lawyer. I said, well, then that's what I want to do. She's like, okay, well, you better start reading. I go, okay. And then I was like, wait a second, Anthony. You declared that when you were like 6, 7 years old, and here you are making $100 an hour. You're working 6 months out of the year. What the heck's wrong with you, man? You're doing exact. You're living the life. Stop comparing yourself and start appreciating what you created. And if there's something, if you have a problem with what you declared when you were that age, then declare something different right now. You know what I mean? Declare it and start going for it. But his life giving you exactly what you asked for and you're not happy with it. So I found that like sometimes like gratitude, perspective, those are very powerful things you can use, because I can't tell you, when you're in that space of comparing and jealousy, you get what you think. You are, your mind, your body, your words are very powerful. You'll create exactly what you're thinking and feeling and saying. So if you're saying I'm not working enough, then that's what you're going to create. If you're saying I want to work more, you're coming from lack. But if you're saying, hey, I am exactly where I want to be, I have everything that exactly what I need, it's almost like life says to me, that's when I give you abundance. This, now we can flow. Now you're flowing. Now you're not stopping. You're not resisting. You're not stagnant. We're going to flow. Hang on, because it's going to be fun. Because the less things you try to grab onto and you just let flow into your life, the better it is. And then as this attitude started perpetuating, I started finding myself with a much clearer perspective. So like 7 or 8 years, well, it would have been about, Emilio was a year and a half. And that was my youngest son who passed away. And I remember them calling me like, hey, we want you to come out to China for 6 months to double Matt Damon on it and be the lead double. I'm like, oh my God, this is what I've been working for my entire career to get this relationship. And I'm like, wait, where is it? They're like, China. And I look down and I look at my kid. I'm like, can I come back every month when I'm not doubling Matt? They're like, no, we need you for the run of the show. I go, oh no, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I was like, I can't believe I'm saying no. What are you doing? But the perspective of what was important in my life and what I wanted to create, which was like my goal in life, was always to be a dad. And to give up 6 months of this kid from like the age of 1.5 to 2 blew me away. Now, I didn't know that he was going to pass away. Now, in perspective, that would have been like a quarter of his life. You know what I mean? Where I was like, oh my God, thank God you saw it at that time in your life where you were able to cherish these times with your family, which was much more important to me at that time. And I think that that perspective and that balance, that understanding and getting through not being jealous and not thinking like, oh my God, I got to take this because I want everyone to see me as the best and I want the credit. And it's like, no. You know what? You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Make sure you see that. Take the time to slow down and think about what's going on around you and what is really important in your life at this moment. You know what I mean? And that was really important. And I was so proud of myself for saying, no, I couldn't believe I turned it down. And I tailed it. I said, hey, you know what? Call me on the reshoots. Sure enough, they did for 2 weeks. And that's when I met Matt. And Matt loves me and he stays in touch with me to this day. But I mean, like, it's amazing that like the universe has always rewarded me and when it wants to show me the path that I should be going down. And I felt like that was the way. So, and I just did it again. Like they called me to double Clooney for like 4 weeks here. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be that guy anymore. I don't want to be seen as the double anymore. So I turned that down. And I'm like, if you ever told me in my career that you were going to be turning these types of jobs, I'm like, you're out of your mind. That'll never happen to me. As I've evolved, as I've become more conscious about what's going on around me, what life's really all about and who I really am and what it is I really desire, these are the kind of decisions that are okay. And stop looking at other people. And when I see guys like you and Colin, and I just think to myself, wow, they've been role models in my life. These are people who've inspired me. You know what I mean? I've seen their greatness. And I don't want to see like, oh, why does he have it and not me? Break away from that. Because it's only slowing me down. It's only resisting the flow of life to go through me because I'm coming from a place of lack. That might have been a long version to the question, but yeah, that's kind of what came up for me when you said that, Bri.
Yeah, it was a good one, though. It was a good one, though. I'm glad we went there.
Definitely.
So yeah, let's get into some questions.
Okay. The way we can do questions, if you would like to turn on your video and ask a question. Hey, Mr. Tom Williams turned on his video. Do you have a question for us, sir?
First of all, this is way better than the last live one y'all did. That guy sucked. No, I just want to say hi to Anthony because I haven't seen him in ages. I love you, brother, and I'm so proud of you.
Oh, my God, Tommy. I love you, man. I miss you so much. You, Michelle, those beautiful boys of yours. I mean, it's so good. Sometimes I get updates through my wife showing me some stuff on Facebook. But, I mean, yeah, dude, I miss you. I love you too, brother.
Good seeing you guys on here. Great discussion.
Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate you.
I see you. Lisa, did you want to say something?
Hi. Tony, I never want to get off of these conversations. I'm so glad you guys are doing this. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Colin. And thank you, John. Because collective consciousness is how we thrive in anything in our life. It has nothing to do with the entertainment industry. It has nothing to do with personal goals, per se. As someone who doesn't have a family, you have to find, and I'm just speaking for myself, there might be somebody else on this thread that is like me and doesn't have kids or husband or wife or whatever. You have to find that attitude of gratitude in everything that you do. Otherwise, why would you get up and try it again the next day? You know? So for me, collective consciousness like this, talking about these things, which is kind of all I talk about these days, is what light keeps the flame lit, to try to keep that energy up, because what you give your energy to is going to grow. So keep it positive and look for things to want more of. I feel like, and I think Anthony, you said that exactly, is what you ask for and what you have appreciation for, you get more of. It's what you give your energy to will grow. So I'm thrilled you guys are doing this. And I'm even more thrilled that it's predominantly a group of men having this conversation, because to me, it seemed like that was something that wasn't happening behind the scenes. And I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled for it.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa, for saying that, because that's something I wanted to tell you too, Anthony, is that I appreciate you coming on and just being open. And just being real, because that's who you are. Every conversation I've had with you, wherever it is that we've been, you're just open, you're real, you're honest, and you're okay with that. And I think that's a really important thing. I think that you are, in my opinion, the epitome of confidence and humility coming together in the best way possible. It's tangible in all of the words that you're saying. And I just appreciate your willingness to come on here and do that.
Man, I really appreciate that.
Your producer sunglasses also help with your whole.
Yeah. And whatever last minute hair prepping you did before, you know, you showed up here late too. But
Ryan was thought maybe you had a makeup artist that was down.
Yeah.
Hey guys, John Dixon here. Looks like we have a question from Steven joining us from New York.
Okay.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you so much. And Anthony, I know you've heard it before, but thanks so much just for the vulnerability and the honesty in this conversation. I mean, it's just fantastic. One of the things that I want, it's not really a question, but maybe you guys, all three of you, could discuss it is most of this conversation has talked about self-understanding and comfort and kind of navigating our way through this profession, believing in ourselves, basically, right? But I would love to hear the flip side about your experiences with people believing in you. And this kind of ties into the family discussion, but I think we can believe in ourselves all day and night. But if we don't have people that take a chance and believe in us, then we don't move forward. So I'd love to hear some of your stories regarding who believed in you and helped you get to where you are now.
Well, if I could start, since my parents are actually here listening, I can start right away and just say that my parents have always been supportive of anything that I've wanted to pursue. And I have felt free and able to follow these pursuits because I know no matter what happened, I can always go back home. Like even now, like I could always just move in with my parents now because that's how supportive that they have been. I'm not gonna, they're saying no, but it's just how supportive they have been. And so for me, it has started with my parents and the safe space that they gave me to just go play and pursue. I mean, they've had their thoughts. They're like, are you sure you want to play football? Like, okay, we'll still be on the sideline, but it's not really the sport we want you to play. But they were still there. They let me try it. It wasn't the sport for me, by the way. And so that has been great. We've talked about John Moyle. John Moyle got me my card. So I've always been appreciative of that. And for me, my gymnastics coach is, I was started gymnastics when I was 12. He was just a great person. And just him as a person inspires how I want to live my life. And so with those kind of mentors and role models, I felt safe to be able to go out and try things that were where I was going to fail because I always knew I had support. Good question. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I'll tell you that the guy that I think of as my mentor in this business is George Colucci. We actually met at a golf course at Rutgers. I was going to Rutgers and I was skipping class to go play golf. And he was there with his grandfather and his grandfather's friend. And that was just I was a single coming out and I ended up getting grouped with them. I had just done the Batman stunt show at the Six Flags in New Jersey. And my plan was to move to Florida and do live shows down there. And I got to talking to George. He was wearing a Stunts Unlimited shirt. I don't know. One thing led to another. I said, yeah, I'm going to move to Florida. He said, no, move to L.A. And I did. And I came out to L.A. and he introduced me to some people. He got me in the Stuntman Softball League. And throughout the beginning of my career, really, he did believe me. He hired me in my first job and spoke up for me on my second job. He took this kid out of nowhere and he did. He believed in me enough to do that. And I really appreciated that and always have. What about you, Anthony?
A lot of people, I mean, the first thing I felt was that like, it's not outside of me. It's always within me. But knowing what I know today, I would say 5 years ago when my little girl was born, there's nothing like turning the corner and your little girl looking at you like, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, you're amazing. You're like on a, she just looks so far up to you and you're like, and you see this beautiful being like looking at you like you're like a little mini god. And you're like, oh my gosh, well, if she sees it, then I should be it. You know what I mean? I need to start being the best man possible. So I think my children, my wife has always believed in me. I resisted the acting thing a lot because I had no desire. Working with guys like George Clooney and seeing how their life is outside of set, it's crazy. I mean, like I would never wish that on my worst enemy to want to have that kind of life, that the privacy gone. But my wife always was like, you got it. You know what I mean? You got it. When are you going to start seeing that you got it? So I think with enough whispering and enough poking, I think my wife and my children have been hands down some of my most powerful supporters and believers in seeing my greatness.
How about you, Steve? Since you asked the question, did you want to share a little bit of your mentors or your path?
Yeah, my path, like a lot of us in the business, has been pretty windy. As a child, I wanted to be in the film business, and then I went off into another direction, which Brian might appreciate. I became an art therapist. I went to grad school. I was an art therapist, and I worked in pediatric oncology for about 10 years. But doing martial arts all through, right? So martial arts is kind of what got me back into this business. I've had lots of mentors and it's kind of dependent on where I was in my life. But for the stunt business, it's been I mean, several people. I mean, Tom, who's right here, who was on your thing last week, he was on my sec. He was the coordinator on my second ever job. It's amazing how powerful a little thing can be, but I was nervous. It was on The Punisher here in New York, and I was nervous, and I had a scene with John face-to-face, and I had to improv some dialogue and stuff, and after it was over, I remember looking up on the stairwell above where Tom was and just giving me a thumbs up and saying, like, yo, you did really great, man. But for a guy who's brand new to the business, that, like, meant everything to me, you know, like a kind word. And so there's lots of experiences, like, walking onto sets as a rookie, where you get a kind word from somebody that pushes you forward. Doesn't give you the hope like what you're talking about, but I think it just reminds you that you're on the right path, you know? So I've had lots of mentors, and some have been really active in my life, like my martial arts coach, like people that have been in my life for long periods of time. And then there are these short-term mentors that you come along the road that remind you you're going in the right direction.
Well, it's the universe. If you're open to it, all the clues are there. There's actually a quote from Sanjay Day O'Connor, and her quote is, "This chance will stand before you only once." However, taking that statement to the next perspective is like every chance only stands before you once. Then there's always more once in a lifetime chances down the road that you haven't got to yet, because every chance is a once in a lifetime chance. Like when Anthony was saying, when he turned down the one for going to China with Matt Damon, that was the possibly a once in a lifetime chance. However, there was another once in a lifetime chance that just happened right afterwards. I think, as you're saying, we can be a supportive, inclusive environment. Those little things make a difference. And if we keep building on that, like as Lisa was saying, like just the collective consciousness is like, we're here to support each other. We don't need to push someone down to raise ourselves up. We can all just raise each other up. There's enough work out there that we don't have to be jealous of someone else getting a job. Oh, that's awesome. Now, what did they do that maybe I can figure out and then incorporate to me? And then, you know, so we're always growing and building. And I think we can just keep that up. That's our goal.
That's we can all be that bouncing ball that exactly. Anthony was talking about.
Boom.
Yeah, the forceful bouncing ball. Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for joining us with this discussion. Really appreciate your time. Colin and I are just so grateful. And Anthony, again, your time as well, brother. It's always great talking to you, and really appreciate you being willing to come on the show.
Appreciate it so much. Love you guys.
And John Dixon, thank you, my friend.
You guys, it's been really great to listen to all of you. You know, I've known all of you for a really long time. It's a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to be part of it. So thanks for including me.
Actually, when Lisa was talking, it's reminded me of our catchphrase, knowledge infused with compassion fuels better decisions. And that is our goal, to spread knowledge, a little compassion, and then we all get to make better decisions. You knew what that meant. I just repeated it anyway. Why not? Thank you all so much. Have a great night. We'll do this again sometime.
Ciao.